Welcome to the show. This is After We're Dead, Lessons You Leave Your Kids Kids, with Aaron and
Brittany Young.
We're excited. This is our first show together.
Yay!
Exactly. we want to just introduce the show and the concept and just what got this pilgrimage started. Just thinking about After We're Dead. I know it's kind of a morbid title, right? But it is about legacy. It's about heritage. It's about, you know, those things that that history is talked about, you know, that what history is, you know.
Right.
So we are living heritage of someone's history. So, Brittany, what was your first thoughts about this concept, talking about it?
Well, I have to say, interesting enough, there's no one in this room but us, and I'm a little nervous, and that is so awkward, but I'm gonna get through the nerves. When Aaron first told me about doing this show, I was like, oh, well, that's exciting, that's different. But then when we started talking about different show topics and all of that, I was like, oh wow, this is real. He really wants to do this. So I support my husband and his dreams and desires and goals. And I was like, well, you know, I'm gonna be a supportive wife, and I'm gonna
very supportive
do it with him. And I can say that I was really excited that he wanted me to do it with him. I thought that was cool. Because I would have been jealous if he would have had a podcast by himself. I can be honest. But okay. It's exciting that we get to do it together. And, yeah.
Okay. So, what do you think about, you know, thinking about lessons you're going to leave your kids? What do you think about that type of, have you ever thought along those lines, or is it just like, oh, let me just worry about these kids we got, which we do have kids. We have three kids
who are all under the age of 4 at that. So yes, it is. I can say before thinking of doing this podcast, it was just, let's just get through each day with these kids that we have. So I had never thought about the lessons I wanted to leave my children's children's children and so forth until now, being forced to have to think about that and being intentional about the lessons I want to leave, not just my children, but generations to come.
Good. So tonight, our topic is the family coat of arms. Really, the books I've read about wealth building and generational building, and they always come full circle on the values, or not just the values of, but what is the culture of your family? What makes your family distinctive? What characterizes your family? And through understanding that, you really can build upon, you know, a vision or a mission or some type of values that are already embedded into the culture of your family. So that's what we're going to talk about today, really about, you know, our family and how distinctive we think the Youngs are. So we're going to go through a couple of questions. These questions are typical of a family counselor who would ask a family if they came to see him or her. And counselors usually ask these questions about to get some type of background knowledge of what your family, you know, how you guys operate, your attitudes, you
the
know,
makeup of the family. Makeup
of the family. So, the first question we have is, what parents like most about their children? What do we like? kids. They're funny.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing to lead with. They are funny. They really are hilarious.
Is it the hilarious or is it like you guys are just... I think they
No, I funny. Think they They're have funny personalities. They are yeah. funny people.
They're funny.
I think they're very charming. Funny when they very grow charming. Up too.
Very charming. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say all good things about the kids. They're very...
Yeah, that's what funny. I like most about them, that they are funny.
What would you say your parents would say about you?
Like, I was obedient.
Obedient.
I think that's what my parents would say about me, that I was a good listener and I followed all directions.
They thought that she was obedient. On every
I knew how to be on every obedient.
Observant of every observant surface, you were obedient.
There you go. On the surface.
On
that's
the surface
right.
you were very obedient. And I guess that's good for something. That is good.
That's I was compliant. Exactly. I was a compliant child.
You understood
child.
What was going
it
on.
It wasn't difficult yeah. in that sense.
Yeah. Or and she never got caught. There are millions of people that have done crimes and never got caught.
Anyway, moving on, okay. What would your parents say?
My parents have said to me, and they have said, you are bad. It's like, no, your parents haven't said
we're talking about the good, what would they say is...
I guess they would say I'm funny. I used to be a very funny kid. Tell jokes and do impersonations of people. Very charming person, I would say. They would say, I don't know.
That's good. That's good enough.
That's good enough. I don't think funny is...
You're trying to
but
pull...
I'm just saying,
I think funny is a great... That quality. Funny is an awesome quality.
I don't think quality is
yes, it is.
I think
a lot
is
of
the ultimate coping.
No, it's not. No. Funny is an amazing quality. I even was thinking about... Because since I'm a teacher, I even think that if you can bring humor into the classroom, you can really... squash a lot of issues just with humor, and a lot of people don't have that quality, and that's why I think being funny and being humorous is a good quality that a lot of people don't have.
Brittany Young is a special education teacher. She works for, I'm not gonna say the district, well, the district we live in, she works there as a special educator for how many years?
This is my 7th year because I was a stay-at-home mom for 2 years, almost 3.
So you always would've been with some kids.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. 7 years, 8 years special education. That's nice. Okay, we can go on to our next question. We ask what their goals are. What life would look like if things were better? So I think that's the question is phrasing like, what would you do if you had all the resources in the world? I think this is a pretty common question for everyone to get people heads. Like, what if your family had all the resources possible, money, connections, what would life look like? And I don't know about that question. Now that I think of it, I think it's like
what
a
is
kind
that?
Of a cop out. Yeah, what is that even? We don't have all the resources. We have what we have, and, you know.
I don't think that's a good question to help you develop your family code of arms and who you are as a family.
I guess what are the main ambitions, I guess? What are some theme ambitions that your family share together? Like, I can say, you know, most of the people in my family are people builders, meaning that, you know, educators, they either work in mental health, they work with people on the street, some type of poor, some type of therapy. So I think that's been the overall theme of like many of
and I think I would say that's the same for my family too. Community developers, community builders, yeah, working in recreation and parks and in schools and hospitals.
Yeah.
I think we share that.
Yeah. So that's, I think, you know, for everyone's going to be different, and, you know, this conversation is about us. But we do want you to pluck away the questions that we're using. And, you know, have a conversation with your wife, husband, kids about those things. Okay. What, another question, another inquiry is, what are your family's biggest accomplishments thus far?
Well, we're pretty young. We're a young family still, but.
Yeah. Can you count kids as accomplishment? I think people do. I don't think you should, because, like, no, that's not. I mean.
But having well-adjusted kids, why is that not an accomplishment?
What is the accomplishment? Like, we did it right.
We have kind-hearted children. When our children go out,
I'm talking
out
about
and
having
play,
them, not raising them.
But I'm talking about that's the accomplishment. I think is the accomplishment is that raising we've them. Raised oh, yeah. thus far well-adjusted, socially and emotionally well-adjusted kids. Okay. That when they are out in other settings with other children at the playgrounds or playdates, they display kindness and compassion
they do.
Cooperation. And I think that's an
Most
accomplishment.
Of the time. Yes, they do. They do.
I mean, for 3 and 1.5 year olds.
Yeah, they do. They do. They are very friendly, very outgoing. They are very respectable too. They, you know, they say please and thank you. And
yeah, you know, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah,
definitely.
They are.
Because that's not easy.
Okay.
Because you have to teach those things, and we've been intentional about teaching those things.
Yeah.
So pat on the back.
Yeah, I think that's a good pat on the back. I was referring to the literal, like, having babies.
Oh.
Because I feel like everybody's having babies, and it's like, is that an accomplishment for you? Is that really, was that, you know, you slept with her and, you know, what's that?
Well, I don't know. It's
because people
some
aren't
people,
going.
Some people can't have. Some people it's
that's
difficult
true,
to
but
have
I'm thinking
children.
People,
then,
so many people you hear that are having babies, but that wasn't like their intention.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
like
for some people,
is that an accomplishment or is that a failure?
Oh,
like we just having fun. Having,
that's a different topic, Aaron Young.
We're getting off topic anyway.
Yeah. What's the next question?
But all children are a blessing, no matter how you were conceived.
Amen.
All right. Okay, another question. Does your family have any special rules? Rules.
Special rules?
Yeah, like any special rules. Like, everyone has to wash their own dishes. Is that a special rule? I don't know. Does that speak to culture?
I guess that's a special rule when you get there, but I don't know what kind of special rules we will have.
Yeah.
In the future.
I think that goes to, you know, I think, you know, what you value becomes rules. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Don't go out this house looking like,
yes,
you don't have any parents, or, you know
like
what I'm saying?
You don't care
like
about
you don't
your,
care about
yourself.
Yourself, okay.
Or your family. You want to win. That is, I think that's an underlying rule that I have. I don't know. We've never really talked about it, but yeah, I do care about how we look when we leave the house, because we are a representation of our family, and I want for us to represent ourselves well.
See that? And so we need to, you know.
We've never had that discussion.
I think that's good right now. You looked at me kind of crazy, like special rules, but I think, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Along those lines, when you start pulling those things out, because you value that,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn that value into a rule.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So I'm sure after we go off out, you know, what we value, what do we value? Like off the top of your head, do you think some things we value?
We value relationships.
Yeah.
Definitely. We value education.
Yes.
What else?
We value... I don't know.
We value... And relationship, that's for... I mean, relationship with God and relationship with each other.
Yeah. And not just the word relationship, I guess. Connection.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
what I think you're trying to get to. Because mm-hmm. we've got... You know, that's a broad statement, relationship. But mm-hmm. I think the connection.
Yeah.
Like, connecting with
people. Yeah, connecting people. With people. That's right.
And yeah. And I think that some people overlook the value of the connection. People want to have relationships, but they really do not want to be in a committed, connected.
Right.
In a committed, connected way, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Do we have any traditions? This is a good subject. I want to talk about, like, creating conditions. We don't have any traditions. Well, I tried to, tried to implement some since having my family. Having a yearly photo.
Yeah. And
and trying to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
We missed last year.
That's true.
And we're almost going to miss this year. So.
But that's because we now live.
Well, the tradition is with mostly my side of the family. Like,
that is true, yeah.
We could do our own. We could do our own picture with just me, you, and the kids. Try to get that done.
Well, but we could do my family, too.
We could do your family. They are nice. But you've never brought it up.
Well, I'm bringing it up now. Okay. We should do that.
Okay. We can do that. We'll do that. We'll schedule that. I'll schedule it. Is that fine?
That sounds great.
Okay, great.
So that's a tradition.
Doing a yearly photo, I think that's awesome. I mean, and make it professional. When I try to set it up, I try to have a makeup person there for the ladies. I put out a theme. Matching colors. Everyone's walking around with their cell phone. They get these, limited pixel pictures on their phone. And it's like, make time to do that professional photo that you can get blown up and put on your wall, and you can just see the growth of the family. And it's apparent, even the few pictures that we've taken. Since the first picture, we've had, four more kids?
Mm-hmm.
Two more? No, four more. The first one was only AJ. And then the second year, we had WP and Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we haven't taken one yet with the twins. So that's like four more kids since the first picture. Grandkids since the first family photo we've taken. So traditions like that, I would love to do like a journey into manhood, journey into womanhood type of ceremony for when they turn 13 or 14, whatever some type of age. Just to transition into, this is that time, bro. This is that time, daughter.
Yeah.
To be thinking about, the future. We're going to be holding you at another standard. We have, have a ceremony where we, put out some expectations. And just celebrate that them coming out of childhood.
Right.
I think people wait so long to be like, okay, you're not a child. And then some people treat their grown children like children. And really never have that, point of like, no, you're an adult. We're going to treat you like an adult.
Right, right.
And expect things from you, at that high level. You have anything, Britt, you want to speak to that? What are some traditions that you've heard of that you like, oh, that's cool?
Well, not minor. I was gonna first say, well, some minor traditions we've done, but no tradition is minor because it's important to your family. But growing up, my parents always did traditions with holidays.
Okay.
So like Christmas time, we always did pizza and hot chocolate and watched a movie. And we exchange names, and my mom always buys everybody pajamas, and
that's like the first time as a grown man of wearing pajamas. Your mom buying me pajamas, I'm like, okay, cool.
And it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And because those are traditions that you grow up with, so even now that we're all grown and we have kids, it is still exciting to have traditions and to look forward to those things and bring in your significant others into the fold. So yeah.
That's true. What do you think we spend our most of our time doing? Living, I'm just like thinking, like, reread. We like movies.
Yeah.
We're moviegoers. I think your families are moviegoers and my family are moviegoers. Like, we both come from that. You know, my dad would tell me stories of him going to the movies on the weekends, seeing quarter shows and spending all day at the movies. And my brothers and sisters are pretty much movie buffs. They go, you know, all the time. Anything else?
In terms of what do we spend our time doing?
Yeah.
Right now we spend our time taking care of children. Mm. I mean, when they get older, that'll definitely change. Like, our family, it was sports.
Yeah.
It was always going to somebody's different athletic event or competition. Or if it wasn't one of us, it was cousin, family, friend, somebody's athletic event. Mm-hmm. So that was so, and that may very well be something we incorporate for our own children.
Another question is, they ask about their connections to the faith community, or if and how they worship, or if you worship at all. I don't know, but for us, I mean, we attend church regularly. Faith, I think, is a big part of both of our lives before we even got married, and our parents. I don't know, and when we speak of generationally, I think my parents may be like first generation, like, believers, like, Christian, like.
Why the silence?
I'm looking at you like, what are you?
Oh, I thought you were going to keep talking. You answered the question. I don't think there's any more to say about that question. Faith is definitely important to us. Not only that, is something we definitely want to pass on to our children, that they have their own relationship with Christ, and that, you know, it's not just a surface relationship, but that it is deep-rooted, that they are on fire for Christ, that they are ambassadors for Christ
in their
world and community. So
that's something you want. I think it's growing up, you know, I was that kid, like, oh, we got to go to church on Sunday. Like, oh, God. Like, but we went, and, you know, my parents spent time in church at least one day out of the week other than Sunday. So that's, you know, going to somebody's house or going to church on Wednesday. So, and then I went, you know, to a Christian school when I was young. So I'm just like, it's interesting. It's interesting about, you know, between raising your kids in faith and thinking about their own personal decision. You know, you know, it's like, I don't know, I've thought about it, like, we're going to raise them as to have faith in presumably what we know personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you make it personal for them when it may not be personal as a kid? I don't know.
Well, that's why you make it personal to them as a kid, though. Yeah. And you share with them stories of the Bible and stories from your own life that are age appropriate.
Yeah.
To make it personal for them.
I think that's the biggest part. I think that's the biggest part. And that's what I wanted to get at as far as sharing stories from your own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it can, my parents, going to church, but we probably never had like a life sharing conversation until I was older. And, you know, and it was almost like, this is what the Bible says, do it. You know, and it wasn't like a shared personable thing with my parents and I. And until I got older, you know. So that's what I hope for our kids, that we be able to, you know, give them substance other than Bible stories for them to relate. And I think that goes for not just, you know, your faith, but your values too. Not just, you know, giving them rules, but you're giving them, you know, what does this mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know right. what I'm saying? Like, why do I value this? What in part of my life changed my perspective on this or created this perspective?
Right.
Because I think it's kind of cold just to say, do what I, you know, have value in this, which is, you know, totally different than obedience.
Mm-hmm.
To foster value in something is different than saying, do it because I said so.
Right.
You want them to do it because they value you or mm-hmm. they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any strategies on how to pass on a value or how to foster a value?
You mean outside of a faith value?
Yeah, a faith, you know, faith, values. Like you said, like the dressing well thing or dress to impress. Like, I guess you dress them well when they go outside every day, but you hope that they would catch on, like, oh, I can't go out of here, you know?
Yeah.
But how would you translate that into... how are they going to value this?
I mean, the truth is also, though, that they are individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And God created each of us individually. And they do have their own journeys. And I do think that, right now, I'm still a pretty new mother. So I think I'll probably have a different perspective on this when I'm an older mother, but right now I just feel like all we can do is have that open communication with them and explain to them, you know, if they ever ask, you know, well, Mom, why can't I wear this or why can't I do this when I walk out the door?
Exactly. The Robinsons are doing it.
Exactly.
Tina's doing it.
And in that moment, that may still not be enough for them because they're young. Yeah. You know, and so it may have to be through life, their own life lessons, that they get it, like, oh, that's why my mom used to say that all the time, you know. And but now that becomes a value for them.
Yeah, I've encountered it already as far as, like, going to the playground, just like the guns thing. Like, a lot, mm-hmm. it is very rare that yes. you see kids playing with guns now. Like,
very rare?
Yeah, that you see kids playing with, like,
oh,
replica guns. at a young age.
Well, like at the playground. But it's not rare for them to use their hands and to...
Exactly. But even in that, I see the kids playing. And I will have to tell AJ, we don't play like that. We don't play
shoot, bang,
shoot 'em up games. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do. So I feel like even now I'm having to, you know...
Yeah, that's hard.
Distinguish what the young family does and what other kids, his friends, may do.
Yeah.
And really have to, because he's looking at me like, well, we're not hurting each other. Everybody's right. playing this. I want to play with my friend.
Right.
And I'm trying to explain to him, well, you know, that's not how we play. That's not how we have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play with them, but I don't want to see you showing bang bang at their faces or things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same message I tell him too.
Yeah. So even at three, that's what I feel like. Even at three, it's like 3 and 1. It's like there are people run their families different. People mm-hmm. let their kids do different things. I'm sure everyone knows. And you're just like, I don't know. We don't do that, you know? And I'm not saying anybody's right or that they're going to grow up being bad guys, good guys. It doesn't. But I just think, you know.
Yeah, but speaking to that even still, that is something that through AJ's own life journey,
yeah.
he will come to, we pray that he will come to take that on as a value himself. Right yeah. now, he still doesn't value it because yeah. he still goes to a playground and still plays,
yeah.
you know, with the boys who are playing the shoot 'em up, bang, bang games, and we still have to have the same conversation yeah. with him. So, I think it's just through drill.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm just like, when does that... I just think about my life, just like, you know, my parents tell me stuff when I was young. You remember, I don't know. She is probably 99% perfection child syndrome, one of those. And I am like 67%. So I do remember things my parents telling me. But they didn't, I guess they didn't become important to me mm-hmm. until I saw the benefit of having them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I'm like, well, other people are doing this.
Right.
And they're benefiting.
Yeah.
What? Why am I not? You know?
Yeah.
And then, so.
All you can do is educate.
That's all you can do. So, to wrap up the episode, we just, you know, want to come back to the point of, you know, explore who your family is, you know, what characterizes your family, what makes your family distinctive. Ask these questions, ask your parents questions, ask yourself questions about, you know, what makes my family different? And sometimes you just feel it. You know that you, when you meet other people, you're like, we don't do that. And it becomes clear when you're around other people that your family totally has a different way of doing things. And that's the blessing about this world. You know,
Amen.
You know, all different.
Yeah.
So signing off, this is Aaron.
And this is Brittany.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.